Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you are about to do this evening. We are grateful to you for your mercies and all that you have begun doing right from day one. We have seen your power and we have seen your grace at work mightily. Now we are here before you, O God, and we commit ourselves into your hands, that as your word comes to us, may we be so empowered. May we be enlightened. May the entrance of your word bring light and understanding. Bring us to the place where our lives will never be the same. And we pray that indeed, whatever you have for us tonight, our eyes shall see it, and we will have every cause to give you glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So yesterday, one of the experiences I've been having is that sometimes people join because we move a bit late into the night. Some of us, we become weak and we sleep. So during the prophetic time, when we are mentioning your name, you are fast gone. So tonight, try that you don't sleep. Amen. Try that you don't sleep so that when the Lord picks you, it will not be, trying to mention your name and all that. All right. So I just want us to go straight to the word. And I'm so excited because of what God is about to do. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to you tonight on what I've entitled the relevance of the prophetic. 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 Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 18. I want us to read the scripture we are using for our main program, you know. I want us to just go to that scripture and begin to look at a few things there. 2 Kings chapter 7. I want us to do verse number 18. 2 Kings chapter 7, I want us to do verse number 18. Let me see if I can read this from the NIV. It happened as the man of God had said. Now let me read verse 1 and I'll come and read verse 18. All right, let me read verse 1 and I'll read verse 18. Now verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 7. Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." And verse 18 says that it happened as the man of God had said to the king. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. It happened. Somebody say it happened. I want you to type it happened in the chat. If you are with me, type it happened. It happened. It happened. It happened. Now, this scripture we have just read, I'm speaking on the relevance of the prophetic. This Bible text we have just read, it's a popular text. All of us probably have heard it over and over. Now, it talks about the famine that existed in Samaria, where, because of the famine, the Bible talks about the fact that even two women had to cook their child, just to survive. And it was so bad that, people could eat their seed at that realm or at that level. So the prophets now decided to prophesy because the Lord had given him a word and spoke the word that hear the word of the Lord that about this time tomorrow, in other words, within 24 hours, everything that was expensive shall be very cheap. And people like one of the king's officers who was used to economy and the way prices work with demand and supply, just look at the man of God and said, man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgate of heaven, can this thing you are talking about be? And the prophet said to him, because of your unbelief, because you have doubted the word of God, because you have challenged the prophetic word, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. And the Bible said that it happened as the man of God had said to the king about this time tomorrow. Exactly what he said happened. And even the king, the officer who was leaning or in charge of the gate, the Bible said that the people trampled on him in the gateway and he died at the gate, just as the man of God had foretold that you see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. That is exactly what happened to him because the people trampled him in the gateway and he died. Now, I am a student of the prophetic. I always say that I am a student of the prophetic because I am always learning something new every day concerning this thing we call the prophetic ministry. Now, the prophetic ministry is one of the oldest ministries you can ever find because it is the ministry that has got to do with God talking to humanity or God speaking. And right from creation in Genesis chapter 1, we saw how God, Bible says that God spoke, that let there be, and there was. So right from creation, we saw the prophetic being demonstrated of God speaking, and we saw the impact of the words God spoke. So the prophetic, as a result, happens to be one of the oldest ministries. It has been one of the oldest ones. And strangely, the father of faith, I'm talking about Abraham, who we consider as the father of the Christian faith. Even the Muslims consider Abraham as the father of their faith. Now, the father of the Christian faith is considered as a prophet. And he was the first person God himself called a prophet. So when you read the Bible says in Genesis chapter 20, when you read Genesis chapter 20, right from verse number 7 downwards, the Bible talks about the fact that God said to Abimelech the king, that return Abraham's wife to him, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you don't return her, be sure that you will die. So it is very important to understand that Abraham, who is the father of faith, was considered a prophet. And right from Genesis, it was God who called him a prophet. So the prophetic is one of the oldest ministries. Unfortunately, it is one of the most abused ministries in our generation. And it is one of the ministries that have a lot of issues. When you are walking about in town and you hear somebody call somebody prophet, then everybody looks around and people raise their eyebrows because this thing called prophetic or the prophet has become something that people have abused in our generation. And because of that, it looks as if the glory of that ministry, unfortunately, is descending. However, everything proves, and there are evidences that show that despite all these things, the prophetic happens to be one of the ministries that God is using to speak to us in our generation. And God is using this ministry to bless a lot of lives. Am I talking to somebody? So even Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, is considered by some religions as a prophet. Some religions consider Jesus as a prophet. But for us Christians, Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is more than a prophet. In John chapter 2, verse number 8, John chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible talks about how Jesus had just performed the first miracle, and Jesus gave them wine that was better than what they were already serving. And right from that encounter, we saw how people enjoyed that wine, and they were like, how come you have kept the best wine until now? I'm telling you that the prophetic is one of the best wines God has reserved for this end time generation. Just as the people said, that why have you reserved the best wine until now? In the same way, the prophetic ministry happens to be one of the best wines God himself has reserved for the end time generation. This is why the prophet Joel said that, and it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The young men will see visions, the old men will dream dreams, and what again? What will happen again? My sons and daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. So the prophetic happens to be one of the best wines God has reserved for the end time generation. So in this end time, one of the wines God has reserved, or Jesus has reserved, is the wine of the prophetic. The prophetic is not for witch hunting. It is not something we use to catch witches. It is not a gift that is supposed to be, destroying families and breaking marriages and relationships. The prophetic is a very good ministry, a fine ministry for the body of Christ. And so, if you are fortunate to be in this generation which is enjoying the best wine reserved for the latter, then I'm telling you are blessed, because this is one of the blessed generations who are enjoying the best wines reserved for the latter day. So the prophetic is God's gift. It is God's idea. It is God himself who has instituted that ministry. And everybody who is a Christian must begin to change their perceptions and perspectives about the prophetic. Because sometimes when we read the Bible and see the prophetic at work, we become so excited and we begin to thank God that, God, oh, do this in our time. But when God begins to use a woman, a man, a child, an adult, a young person in the prophetic, then people begin to, shut the person down. And they say all kinds of things. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Meanwhile, when they read it in the Bible, they are excited. But when they see it manifesting in their lives, then they begin to talk about it. They begin to speak against it. They begin to talk a bit against the people that God uses. And it looks as if the people themselves are the ones who have called themselves, or they are the ones who are trying to do something, or for people to just acknowledge them. But understand that the prophetic is not a man's idea. The prophetic is not a man's institution. It is something that Jesus himself has instituted. It is an extension of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. So when Jesus was done with his ministry in the Bible said that he called some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. And at the end of the day, he gave these people as gifts to the body of Christ. And what was the reason for he giving them as gifts to the body of Christ? He did that so that the people of God will be equipped for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness that is in Christ Jesus. So that people who are infant children will not be tossed back and forth by the waves that are blown here and there, and by all the different kinds of teachings that are going on in our generation, different doctrines and bad teachings are going on. But one of the essence of Jesus instituting all these fivefold ministry is so that the body of Christ will not be blown here and there by every wind of doctrine or teaching, and by all the craftiness of the people in their deceitful scheming, but instead that everybody will grow in maturity in Christ, so that by that we will be able to will function in the highest level that God wants us to function. So people of God, I want you to understand that the prophetic is not demonic. The prophetic is not a bad thing. The prophetic is not the working of Satan. So we should love it. Let's love it. Let's embrace the prophetic. When we even embrace it, that is when we will even enjoy it the more. Anything you respect, you attract it. Anything you honor, you attract. But anything you despise and you don't honor, you don't attract it. That is why sometimes somebody with a prophetic gift or grace will be amongst you. You will never enjoy and benefit from him or from her because you are not honoring the gift. We are not saying that the person is a superman, but we are saying that we should not fight the prophetic ministry. We should not fight it. We should not fight it because it is a gift that Jesus himself has given to the body of Christ. What is very important is that if you have the prophetic gift or ministry, you should pray for maturity to handle the gift. You should pray for wisdom to operate it. You should pray for the courage to also minister, because sometimes you need courage to preach or to speak the word as it is without trying to make it soft. And sometimes you also need wisdom to speak it in a way that your head will not be cut off like John the Baptist. And sometimes you also need, apart from wisdom and the courage, you also need maturity so that as you are ministering or operating in that gift, you will not be destroying people, you will not be destroying other things, and you will not be saying things which does not conform to scripture. That is why if you have followed me for some time now, I will never prophesy when I have not preached or taught the word of God. Everybody here is a witness that there is never a time I prophesy without preaching from the word or without teaching from the word, because that is what will bring us to the realm of maturity. Maturity is not by the prophetic. Maturity is by the word of God. So I will not prophesy until I have preached or I have taught. If I finish preaching and teaching and God says don't minister in the prophetic, then we close. Because it is not by force that we should prophesy every day. If God gives us the word, then we minister. And I have to humble myself and submit to the leadings of the Spirit. So I want you to understand that everyone listening to me, we are supposed to embrace the prophetic because it is God's gift for you. Through the prophetic, a lot of things will happen, and I will go there right now. So let us begin to embrace and honor this prophetic gift, not because of the man God is using, but because of the God of the man. We should not make the man of God become like God or take the place of God. Let us rather allow God to take his place so that God will be glorified through the prophetic ministry. So the prophetic ministry is not supposed to glorify the man of God. It's not supposed to glorify the servant being used by God. The prophetic ministry is supposed to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. So that when God manifests himself in the prophetic, nobody should take the glory for himself and say, I prophesied and it happened, I ministered and it came to pass. No, we should give all the glory to Jesus. So listen to me, people of God. The prophetic is the spirit of Jesus. The prophetic is the spirit of Christ. Anybody that fights the prophetic is fighting the spirit of Christ. Anybody that fights the prophetic is fighting the spirit of Jesus, because the prophetic is the spirit of Christ, is the testimony of Jesus. That is what the prophetic ministry is all about. Now, there are six different atmospheres that are created anytime you come into contact with the prophetic. There are six different atmospheres. I will mention them briefly, then we'll move into the next thing. The first atmosphere that the prophetic can create is that the prophetic creates an atmosphere of glory. That is what I just said. The prophetic creates an atmosphere of glory. It glorifies Jesus on the earth. So anytime people see the genuine prophetic ministry at work, all they can say is that, wow, this is beautiful. This is amazing. And they begin to glorify God because they see God in their midst. So when you read the Bible in Revelation 19:10, it says that at this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold on to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So anytime you come into the prophetic or come into contact with the prophetic creates an atmosphere where we are able to give God all the glory. It glorifies Jesus on the earth. My God. I remember one day I was in a certain church of Pentecost church, a certain church of Pentecost church, you know, and I was ministering, and it was around Bumbuashi in Accra. Then whilst I was ministering, I remember I picked one young man and I said, boss, get up, stand on your feet. Then I left the boy and I was roaming through the congregation and I went to pick a certain lady from the back. And I said, madam, you to get up. Then I said, sir, if you go and make inquiry in your father's house and your mother's house, they will tell you that this girl standing here is your sister. Meanwhile, I have not gone there before. Immediately, I made that pronouncement. The whole church stood up and they started clapping. And they started clapping. And I didn't understand what was going on. And they told me, oh, man of God, this boy is a sibling to this girl. The girl is the direct backbone of the boy you have picked up. I was amazed. I was shocked. And I remember people started getting up. They were clapping their hands. And I couldn't stop the clapping because it was the first time they have actually had such an encounter in the prophetic. And they clapped. And before I realized, they themselves began to worship God. We didn't organize worship session. They themselves began to worship God and they praised God and worship God and worship God. Then I realized that, wow, what a glory. The atmosphere was charged. So anytime you come into contact with a genuine prophetic, it creates an atmosphere of glory unto God. The second atmosphere is that the prophetic creates an atmosphere of knowledge. It creates an atmosphere of knowledge. Anytime you come into contact with the prophetic, one of the things that happens is that it brings a knowledge of God that you didn't know. It brings unto you a certain knowledge about your own life you didn't know. Sometimes you know, but sometimes there are things you never knew. So the genuine prophetic always creates an atmosphere of knowledge. It is able to destroy the power of ignorance anytime you come into contact with it. So I remember a young lady, I mentioned this, a young lady I encountered in Brekum area in around Drobo, where my dad used to pastor. Then I remember I picked a girl. I said, there is somebody here who is called Vivian. Everybody's hand was down. Then I moved to my left-hand side and I picked one lady and I said, madam, get up. Your sister, what is her name? And she said, my sister is called Vivian. Then I started describing everything, the birthmark on her face and all that. That was the first time I was actually prophesying in the church setting. And after I prophesied, there was something about the woman that people didn't, that the woman did not know. God was arranging a glorious marriage for her. But because she did not know that God was arranging a glorious marriage for her, she was just misbehaving with all the men in the place. She was just misbehaving with all the men in the place. So because of the prophetic, now she was aware. She was made known. She received the knowledge of what God was planning. And by this knowledge, she was able to fashion her life well. So the prophetic is able to create an atmosphere of knowledge. So anytime you come into the presence of the prophetic, get ready to know something you didn't know. And in case you are told something you didn't know, don't say, oh, me, it is, I don't know. Oh, don't say, I don't know. You don't know. That is why God is telling you. And sometimes when I'm prophesying and I tell people this, that, they say, oh, I don't know, I don't know. And sometimes when they say, I don't know, some of them feel like they want people to feel like what you are saying is not true. It's not that what we are saying is not true. It is the fact that you don't know what we are saying, because God cannot lie. God does not tell lies, and God cannot make mistakes. So once we tell you that this and that, the prophetic is creating an atmosphere of knowledge. Now understand that knowledge is power. Knowledge is very powerful. So anytime you come into the prophetic atmosphere, get ready to humble yourself to learn something you didn't know. Number three, the prophetic creates an atmosphere for quality choices and decisions. The prophetic creates an atmosphere for quality choices and decisions. Anytime you come into contact with the prophetic once again, what happens is that you receive the opportunity to make quality choices and decisions. So, for example, if the Lord speaks to you and said that, the Lord said that he's going to make you a great lawyer in Ghana or in Africa or in US. When the prophetic word comes to you like this, what it means is that you must make a decision or the choice to enroll in the school of law or in the law school, or make up your mind that you are going to enroll in the law school. It is a decision you must make. Sometimes people receive prophecies and they are waiting for God to make choices for them. They are waiting for God to make decisions for them. When you receive a prophetic word, you are supposed to make quality choices and decisions based on the prophetic word you receive. So God is expecting you to act and step out in faith. You must believe God. If God indeed has spoken, you must believe God. You see, if God says that you are going to give birth to a baby boy and you refuse to have sexual intercourse with your wife or with your husband, there is no way you are going to see that prophecy comes to pass. So anytime the prophetic comes to you, there is always something you must do. There is always something you must say. There is always an action that you must take. And that action is what we call choices and decisions. Until you make those choices and make those decisions, you will not see the manifestation of that prophetic word. So the prophetic creates an atmosphere for quality choices and decisions. Number four, the prophetic creates a realm of supernatural protection. The prophetic creates a realm of supernatural protection. Supernatural protection. The prophetic protects. The prophetic protects. The prophetic protects. The prophetic protects. The prophetic. I'm saying the prophetic protects. Because when you read Revelation chapter number 19, when you read, oh my God, where is this scripture? I will look for it for you. I'm not finding it. Okay, let me see. Oh, laba, 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 laba. Second Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 16. I remember the king of Syria decided that he would go and fight against the king of Israel. And he plotted in his boardroom that this is the strategy we are going to use to attack the king of Israel. So they plotted and they did all kinds of things. And they planned and laid the strategies in place. Unfortunately, anytime they plan to wage war against the Israelites, Elisha the prophet will go and tell the king, sir, the people, this king is planning that they will do this and this to you. So be careful. So the king of Syria was like, ah, who is amongst us? Who is betraying us? Because anytime we plan, the plan backfires. Anytime we plan, something will happen and the plan will not materialize. Then they told the king, sir, it is not that we are betraying you, but there is a prophet in Israel who is called Elisha. He is the one who is unveiling all your secrets. Everything you say in your bedroom, he is the one who is actually, you know, decoding the secret to the king of Israel. Wow. So by the prophetic, the king of Israel was positioned for divine protection. Everything that was planned against the king of Israel did not happen. Why? Because the prophetic brought supernatural protection. I remember when the king of Syria even sent an army to go and arrest Elisha and his servant. By the time they came, the Bible said that the Lord had released chariots of fire, horses of fire around Elisha. So Elisha was supernaturally protected. At the end of the day, the armies that were sent to kill Elisha, they were not able to do anything and they went back home. So the prophetic anointing, anytime you come into the prophetic atmosphere, God releases supernatural protection over you. And I pray and I declare over somebody listening to me right now that you are supernaturally protected. You are supernaturally protected. Every scheme, every plot, every assignment from the pit of hell against your life, against your family, against your business, because of the supernatural protection, it will not survive in the mighty name of Jesus. Number, how many are, where are we now? Number four? Number five. The prophetic creates an atmosphere of testimonies. The prophetic creates an atmosphere of testimonies. When you read the verse number 18 of the same 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible said that when the enemy came toward Elisha, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And after this, this was where the testimonies began, where their eyes were on, but they could not see. Their eyes were looking, but they were not seeing. The Elisha, the enemy, was standing in front of them, but they could not see Elisha. People of God, there is a realm where God creates testimonies. You see, sometimes you come to the prophetic meeting like this, you are looking for prophecy. But beyond prophecy, one of the things you get is testimonies. I remember that when there was a famine in Samaria, everybody said, we are dying, we are dying. People started killing their children. But immediately the prophet spoke, and he spoke the word of God. The Bible said that in verse 18, it happened exactly as the man of God had prophesied. So anytime you enter a prophetic atmosphere, you have entered the atmosphere of testimonies. God honors the word of the prophetic vessel. The prophet Elisha said, God, these people have eyes, they are looking, but let them be blind. And God honored the word of the man. Anytime you come into an atmosphere like this, understand that God is going to honor the words of the people he's using. So if you come here tonight, if you are here tonight, understand that you have entered into an atmosphere of testimonies. You cannot return the same way you came. You cannot return the same way you have joined this meeting. In this meeting, testimonies of mantles being released, testimonies of breakthroughs, testimonies of people giving birth, testimonies of twins being distributed, testimonies of healings are taking place. And as I'm even talking right now, testimonies are happening. Testimonies are happening. Testimonies are happening. Number six, the sixth atmosphere is that the prophetic creates an atmosphere of faith and possibility. Anytime you come into contact with the prophetic, one of the atmospheres you have been ushered into is the atmosphere of faith and possibilities. So when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, the Bible says that if somebody is an unbeliever and the person comes to a place where they are prophesying, immediately the secrets of his heart are revealed. The person, even though he's an unbeliever, he will bow down on his face. He will bow down on his face and say that God is amongst you. God is amongst you. So anytime you enter the atmosphere of the prophetic, faith is released. Faith is released. Possibility is released. In the atmosphere of the prophetic, there's nothing like impossibility. In the atmosphere of the prophetic, faith comes alive. When God said, let there be light, the Bible said there was light. Even though there was no light, the prophetic word was creative. It was able to create what did not exist. People of God, I am here to tell you that in this atmosphere, in the few hours we are spending here, impossibilities are becoming possible tonight. Impossibilities are becoming possible tonight in the name of Jesus. My God, the prophetic, the prophetic. So somebody is asking me, man of God, how do I now position myself to contact the prophetic? And this is what I'm going to say briefly, and I'll be done. This is the last aspect of the teaching, and I'll be done. Now, if you want to, you see, the fact that you are born in a garage does not mean you are a car. The fact that you stay around a university, maybe the University of Harvard or University of Ghana or Pentecost University, the fact that you stay very close to a university does not mean it will earn you a degree. So you can be so close, but you will not be in the closet. You can be so close, but you will not be in the closet. Sometimes people are very close to the anointing, but it is the people who are far who actually attract and receive the blessing that comes from it. There are people I have never met before. Even there are some of you here, I have never seen you face to face before. But you are tapping from the gift. Sometimes people are so close and they end up becoming familiar and they never receive. This is why Jesus went to his hometown and his people could not receive him and his people could not take whatever he carried. They said that Jesus said that a prophet is without honor except in his own hometown. So if you want to collect the prophetic or contact the blessings of the prophetic ministry, there are three C's. It is contact, connect, and collect. Contact, connect, and collect. You contact, you connect, and you collect. That is how you get it. So if you want to really benefit from the prophetic ministry or the prophetic grace, one of the first things you should do is that you should contact God, contact the servant. That is how it is. It is a principle and we can't do anything about it. Contact God and contact the vessel. You must position yourself. If you are not born again, then you have to be born again. You have to repent. You have to believe God. You have to honor the prophetic vessel that is being used. Place value on the anointing. That is how it works. Place a demand on the anointing. Place a demand on the oil. Place a demand on the oil and the unction. That is how you will be able to benefit from it. That is how you connect. So you contact and you connect. You connect by placing value, by placing a demand. Placing a demand. Placing a demand. Placing a demand. Then You place a demand by serving and by sacrifice, by service and by sacrifice. If you want to place a demand, you place a demand by service and by sacrificing. Now, the other thing you need to do is that you must document everything God says. Everything that God has said, you must document it. And you must behave everything God has said. That is how you do it. And if you do these things, then you'll be able to receive the blessings that comes from it. Tonight, I am trusting God that as many people that are ready to benefit from this grace will receive it. Understand that the prophetic is a very strange unction. The Bible said that believe the Lord your God and he shall prosper. Believe in his prophet and you shall be established. You shall be established and believe in his prophet and you shall prosper. So once you come into contact with the prophetic, one of the free blessings you receive is prosperity. Anytime you come around the prophetic, there is prosperity that you are exposed to. It is impossible that you are in this meeting and you are not prospering. So everyone listening to me tonight, I want to end by saying that once you are in this atmosphere, you are going to receive something more than a prophecy. Something more than a prophecy. Jesus himself is the one who is chairing this meeting. Jesus is the reason for this meeting. We are not here to glorify any man. We are not here to make any man a superstar. I am not here to glorify myself. I am here to project Christ. I am here to project Jesus. And I'm here to tell somebody listening to me tonight that if only you open up, you will receive the blessings thereof. You see, sometimes when we are ministering to people, people don't just want to open up. I remember I was speaking to somebody and I said, I mentioned something. The guy was not sensitive. The guy was not sensitive. You know, sometimes when you confirm, we are not saying confirm me, I will just prophesy and go. But if you decide to confirm, it has a way of releasing deeper wells. It's like you are digging the wells. It has a way of digging the wells within which we are ministering. And it can even unleash many, many things to you. So when the word is coming to you, you should be sensitive. You should connect to the word and be sensitive. That is how you collect from it. But if you don't, if you are not sensitive and you are just listening, you say amen and that is all. That is all. But somebody, you see, I was ministering to somebody and the person said, I was ministering about God giving the person the fruit of the womb. And the person was not receiving. So somebody who was shouting amen somewhere said, hey, receive it. And the same month, the person took seed. And then she had her baby. And the other person that I was supposed to prophesy to is still not getting a baby. So you see, you have to be sensitive. When we are ministering, to be excited and receive the word. Receive the word. Not you don't know everything. So what you don't know, document it and take it to prayer and believe God that God will cause that word to happen. That is how it works. A man of God was prophesying to another person in Nigeria, and he called a man and said, sir, there is a woman around you, like a wife. The name I see a woman by the name Jennifer. Then the man said to the prophet, I don't know any Jennifer. And this was a big congregation. And the man said, I don't know any Jennifer. Oh. Then once the man of God was just standing there, didn't know what to say, was just trying to navigate his way around the prophetic. Then we saw a woman coming. And the woman came to hold the husband, the man said, my husband. Have you forgotten my first name is Jennifer? Have you forgotten my name? I don't know what happened, you know, but sometimes when there are people who are not used to this kind of ministration, so when your name is mentioned, some of them feel a bit, you know, depressed or stressed or frustrated or shy or whatever. And sometimes they are not of themselves. But relax. Everybody should relax. And I'm saying again that you are going to receive something more than a prophecy. What matters most is that thing you have been praying about, that thing you have been speaking to God about, by the time we are done with these 21 days, it shall happen. It shall happen. and your and Jesus shall be glorified. So in the next 5 minutes, we are praying, and then after we are done with the prayer, I move straight to the prophetic. Are we ready to pray now? Are you ready to pray now? So I, when it is prayer time, I want you to unmute your microphone. That is how we do it. So, and I want you to follow instructions. When it is time to pray, just unmute your microphone. Now, this is the prayer topic. You are telling God that, God, in the atmosphere of the prophetic, impossibilities become possible. Testimonies abound. Faith abound. Therefore, as I have come into contact in this atmosphere, oh God, let every impossible situation in my life become possible.
Lord, speak into my life. I am a living sacrifice.